Let's open the Word of God together this evening in the book of Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 7. And we'll commence reading at the verse number 36. Thank you, as I've said already, thank you for coming this evening. We pray that God will bless you. It's good to have those that have been laid aside and are back again and are in the family and in the fellowship of God. Mrs. Collins, it's good to see you back again amongst the people of God. And we thank God for that touch of the Lord and God's hand. It's good to see our sister Louise here in the house of the Lord. And we pray that God will richly bless and undertake. Let's open the scriptures together, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that was Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he saith to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. Amen. I wonder tonight how you or I would feel if everyone in this congregation knew of every sin that you have ever committed. I wonder how you'd feel if God was to put upon this wall the list of the sins that you and I have been involved in all over our lives. There is not one of us in this meeting tonight but has a sinful past. And each of us have enough sin, if they hadn't been forgiven, would take us to the lowest hell for all eternity. But thank God for the amazing grace of God that reached down into the depths of the pit of sin in which we were found to gloriously set us gloriously and wonderfully and eternally free. Now there is a woman in this story here in Luke's Gospel chapter 7. And to be honest, the community knew exactly of her sin. They knew exactly who she was and what her sins were. And as she came into that house, it was the house of a notable religious person, into the very presence of the spotless, holy, sinless, crimeless Son of God. This woman was an outcast in her community. She was looked upon with contempt because of her sin. No one wanted to be her company. No one wanted to know her. Perhaps you say, well, why was she there? Was she not arrogant? Was this not a very brazen woman to stand in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk into this house when everybody knew exactly who she was and everybody knew exactly about her sin? But friend, if that was true, would it not also be true that it could be suggested that you and I are brazen to come to this house because we too have an awful sin? There's not one of us without sin, because the Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman taken in adultery, that he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And so we find here, this woman walks in to this home of Simon long ago. There are four simple things that I want you to notice about this story. First of all, I want you to see her attendance. Her attendance. You see, in the culture of the Middle East, all that a woman had was her reputation. If she had a good reputation, she would have a chance of making it. But if she didn't have that reputation, she had no chance at all. Let's be honest. This woman had a reputation. Notice what the Word of God says. It says there in verse number 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping. She was a great sinner. Because you notice the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about this woman in verse 47 says, her sins, which are many. So therefore, she was not only a notable sinner, but she was a woman who had sinned so many times. She is evidently a great sinner. And here she walks into the Pharisee's house. Now, the religious Pharisee had invited the Lord Jesus into his home. Other guests were invited to listen to this great teacher, because he called Jesus master or teacher. And so therefore we find that the Lord Jesus, some suggest that this scene would have been out in the courtyard of this great Pharisee, and that the guests who were invited would come, and they would gather round the table, and the seats would be put, and or rather the couches would be put around the table, and they would recline upon the couch, and they would eat from the table. Many questions would be asked of the teacher. Because whenever it was known that Jesus was coming, I'm sure there were others were hoping that they would be invited too. But you said to me, well then, how did this woman come in? Because surely the Pharisee, this religious Pharisee, didn't invite this woman. And the answer is no, he didn't. He did not invite this woman at all. But there was another custom. And the custom was this, on occasions like this, that people could walk in off the street and they were able to come and they were able to stand there whilst the invited guests would lie and recline upon the couch. They could stand and they could watch and they could listen to all that was going on in this home. Now, naturally, Christ's coming to this house was made known. Do you remember what it said in the book of Mark's Gospel, chapter 2? It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And then there were so many people came that in actual fact, the man that was in great need, the sick of the palsy, there was no room for him. Well, it was noised abroad because the Bible says in verse number 37 that behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat, it was noised abroad that Jesus was in this house. And so therefore, whenever she heard that Jesus was in this house, she would come. She wanted to come into this place. Now, I would suggest this, that no one expected her to come. I don't believe that the Pharisee, Simon, expected her to come because she was a notable sinner. She was a woman of the city. She was a woman of the street. She was known to be a harlot. She was known to be a prostitute. And here was a religious man's house. And here this woman brazenly walks in of the street in the very presence of the Son of God. Now, nobody expected this woman, this notable woman of ill repute, to stand in the Pharisee's house. Jesus was invited, but she wasn't. Now, whenever a guest would come into a house, there were some customs. First of all, there would be water to wash the feet. In actual fact, usually, there would be a servant to wash the invited guests or the special guest's feet. But there certainly would be water. And not only was there that, but when the invited guests would come in, they would be made very welcome and they would be given a kiss upon the cheek. It was a sign of the warmth of the welcome. There was also oil. If it was a very respected guest, there would be the oil that would be anointing oil that would be there. But you notice that whilst Simon invited the Lord Jesus into his home, he didn't do these things. There wasn't the customary respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you could ask yourself the question, well, then why did Simon ask him? Why did Simon invite the Lord Jesus? You see, the Lord Jesus was a notable teacher. Simon probably wanted to invite him in there to criticize him, to find fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, there weren't these customary things done to welcome the Lord Jesus and show that he was welcome. They were not provided. No water to wash the feet. There was no oil. There was no kiss upon the cheek. No, none of these customary welcoming marks and signs were there because he wasn't there to be welcomed, really. He was there just to be exposed to criticism. They wanted to listen. They wanted to find fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the real motive? We do not know because the Holy Ghost doesn't tell us. What was the motive of Simon inviting Christ? Friend, let me tell you this. There's something else not known. What is the motive for an unsaved person to come to the house of God? It is not always, you know, to seek the Lord. It is not always to hear of God's word. I could ask a question. Why are you here tonight? Thank God you are. We praise God with all our hearts. But you know, there's a miracle here that those who are unsaved are found in a preaching house where God's word is preached. That is, through the foolishness of preaching, that God can save those that know not his Son as their Savior and as their Lord. And whilst we do not know why Simon invited Christ, we do know why this woman came. You see, friend, I believe that the attendance of this woman is clearly seen in what she brought with her. Because you'll notice that this woman, when she came, she brought with her an alabaster box of ointment. She comes into this house. It says that when she heard or when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Oh, there were many times that this woman would have flaunted herself before men. She didn't come to see men. Friend, to be honest, she didn't come to be seen of men, although that was her past. But she comes with something in her hand. It was something that she possessed. It was something that was very special. It was that alabaster box of ointment. It was very costly. It was a great, precious possession. She has heard, I believe, Jesus preach before. And I believe that this woman comes, and she comes out of a spirit of reverence and love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because she brings with her that special box of ointment. And friend, she brings herself, and she brings all that she has, and she brings them where? To the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that proves to me something. That in actual fact, there was a work of grace that had been done in that woman's heart. And she wanted to openly confess her love for Christ in that home that day. You notice, my friend, how the Holy Spirit puts it. Look in verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city, mark this, which was a sinner. Which was. Notice what Simon saw. Look at verse number 39. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that doth touch him, for she is a sinner. Now, the Word of God says that she was a sinner. As far as Simon was concerned, she is a sinner. You see, the world only saw her past. The world didn't see what God had done within her heart. And the world is so quick to throw up your past. But the Word of God reminds us, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. She was not there to engulf or to entrap another person by her sin. That was her past. But she was there that day carrying an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she broke that alabaster box of ointment, which was so precious and so costly. And in the presence of them all, friend, they knew her past. And as far as they were concerned, that was her present. But thank God she was changed by the grace of God. Every man and every woman in the service tonight, every one of us has a past. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse your past. And God can forgive you your sin. You don't need to live entrapped by your past. You don't need to live chained by your past. Praise God, there's power in the blood of Christ to deliver you. He is able to deliver thee. Thank God. He, that's only Christ. That's her attendance. Notice, secondly, her action. The Word of God says that she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Look at verse 38. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears. As the Lord Jesus reclines upon that couch, and now I have no doubt whatsoever he was engaging in conversation, because there were those that wanted to ask the master things. And this great teacher was lying there as far as they could see, and they just wanted to ask him questions. And so we find, as he lay there, this woman just quietly moved forward to the feet of Jesus. Now, she had been standing on the outside. She wasn't there where the invited guest was. She was standing on the side, and she was watching, and she was listening. And she moves to the feet of Jesus, and she stood behind his feet. And she begins to weep. Those tears of contrition over the sin she had committed that the whole city knew about. Tears of sorrow for the bitter past. But I believe that mingled in that there were tears of joy, knowing that Christ had changed her life. And as those genuine tears begin to flow, friend, she realizes that they're dropping on the feet of Christ. And she kneels down. And as the tears flow, she washes the Savior's feet. And then she reaches forth and she lets down her hair. And she dries the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, an act of humiliation, at the feet of Jesus. You know, I believe that all that woman could see in that house that day was Jesus. She didn't see the others. In actual fact, if she did, she didn't care. She didn't care what they thought. All she wanted to do was to express her gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew her sin, and yet the one she knew was willing to forgive her her sin. And then after washing the feet of Christ and drying them with her hair, she reaches in and she takes out that lovely alabaster box of ointment, and she breaks it open. It's the best she has, friend. In actual fact, that's all she has. And she brings it to the feet of Jesus. And there I see her there at the feet of Christ, and she anoints them, and then she kisses the feet of Jesus, friend. Those feet that very shortly that will be nailed to the cross. As Christ dies for your sins and mine, and she pours the ointment over his feet. There's only twice in the scriptures that it tells about folks kissing Jesus. And the second time was Judas Iscariot. When Judas rains kisses, kiss after kiss of a traitor. On the face of Christ. You know, Simon looks on that day, this religious man. And as he looks on, look at verse number 39. It says, When the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who or what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Notice what it says there. He says within himself. No, he hadn't the guts to speak it out. He said it within himself. And he thought nobody heard him, friend. But the Lord did. Notice what he said. If, or this man, he denies his deity. He's just this man. And then he says, if this man, he denies his dignity. And then he denies his discernment. For he said, if this man were a prophet, he would have known. In actual fact, he says, he wouldn't even allow her to touch them. Because the touch of this woman would have defiled him. And so we see the attendance. Secondly, we see the action. Look thirdly, her accuser. Look at verse number 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He says, Master, say on. You see, even though Simon never spoke, friend, the Lord knew his heart. And you don't have to say anything tonight. You know, some people think that they have to make a scene if they're going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and say like those of in the Bible, we will not have this man to rule over us. Somebody has to create a scene and shout out something if they're going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, not at all. You have rejected Christ. If you're not saved, you've rejected him for years and you've never spoken about it. You know what you did? You walked through the door. You just walked out on your sin. Never spoke a word. Never insulted anyone as far as the preacher was concerned. You never said a word in the meeting. But what you did was this, you walked out. But just as the Lord knew what Simon said within himself, friend, so God knows what you're saying within yourself. God knows what's going on in your heart tonight. God knows whether you're saved or not saved. God knows whether you're right with him or whether you're not right with him. And the Lord knew exactly what Simon says. And the Lord Jesus said, Simon, I want to say something to you. Oh, I'm sure Simon thought, well, you know, I have invited the Lord into my house and I have, you know, I'm just a great person. So he says, Master, say on. Say on. Probably was expecting the Lord to say some great thing to him or praise him. But friend, the Lord was not going to praise him. And dear sinner, tonight I want to tell you, when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, if you die in your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ will not be praising you. You'll be sent from him. Sinner, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed. Depart from me, you cursed. What are you expecting the Master to say to you, friend? If you were to close your eyes on death tonight and step out into God's eternity, what do you expect the Lord to say to you? Come on into heaven. Yet you've lived without Christ. You've walked under your foot the precious blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary. You've spurned his offer of grace and mercy to your soul. And what do you expect him to say? Simon says, Master, teacher, say on. Verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. You see, notice they were both unable to pay. They both were in debt. They were both debtors. Now, Simon thought the Lord was just speaking about some instant here. He wasn't speaking to him. He wasn't speaking about him. No, 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 this wasn't a personal thing. This wasn't a challenge because, you see, Simon didn't expect a challenge from the Lord. No, 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 he was a religious Pharisee. It's all right about this woman. Go and condemn her. She's a sinner. She's a sinner. But not Simon. So Simon turned to the Lord when he said that, you see. It just passed over him. Verse 43, Simon answered and says, I suppose, and let me tell you, Simon is scorning the Lord here. Because deep in Simon's heart, although he doesn't want to show it, the Lord has trapped him. And the Lord's exposing his sin, but he doesn't want to acknowledge it. And so he says it with scorn, dismissively, obviously. Obviously, he says, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And the Lord Jesus says, that's right, Simon, that's right. So far, so good. And then Jesus turned to the woman. And then he said to Simon, seest thou this woman? And Simon, yes, he did see her. And all he could see her was a rotten sinner with a sinful past. That's all he could see, friend. But the Lord saw something different. Let me ask you, as God looks into your heart tonight, what does God see in you? You see, Simon saw her sinful past. He didn't see what she had become in Christ. Thank God this woman had become a new creature. And the Word of God reminds us, if any man be in Christ, they are new creatures. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then the Lord Jesus said, you see this woman, Simon? Now I'm going to talk about the two debtors. Here's the one that owes the 500. Here's the one that owes the 50. Now come on, I want you to weigh this carefully, Simon. When I come into your house today, he said, thou givest me no water for my feet. But she. You see, he's taking the two of them, friend. Yes, the two debtors. When I come in, you didn't give me any water, but she did. She washed my feet with tears. And she wiped my feet with the hairs of her head. He says, when I came into your house, Simon, you didn't give me a kiss. But this woman, verse 45, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, Simon. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. And friend, that was the difference. She loved the Lord. Simon didn't. She loved the Lord. But Simon didn't. And friend, you can be religious tonight and you can have all the signs and the marks of religiosity and you may bow your head and you may read the Bible and you may say your prayers and do all of those things. But if you're not saved, if you've never come to Christ, you know not the saving grace of God. You love not the Lord. It's not a work of God within your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Let me tell you, friend. The woman's heart was changed. She loved the Lord. That's why she washed his feet. That's why she dried his feet with her hairs. That's why she kissed his feet. That's why she took the precious ointment and she poured it over the feet of Jesus, because she loved him. She loved much. But Simon didn't. He didn't love the Lord. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you love the Lord? Well, the woman that day, she knelt at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart was breaking over her sinful past. Where could she go but to the Lord? And she came to the feet of Christ. And she knelt humbly and reverently at the feet of Jesus in repentance of her sin. And Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And that brings me to the last thought tonight, her acceptance. You see, her sins. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ, he did say, her sins. Yes, he didn't cover them up. He didn't pretend that they were not there. The Lord says, her sins. I know about her sins. I know about them. And friend, I tell you, God knows about your sin and mine. You and I cannot hide our hearts from God tonight. And Simon doesn't think he needs forgiveness. He thinks he's all right. This woman, yes, this woman, she's a sinner. But not me. I don't need this pardon. I don't need this forgiveness. I don't need the Lord. He didn't feel the burden of his sin. So therefore, he didn't come to the feet of Jesus. The truth is this, that it's so easy to point to the sins of others and not see your own heart. But the Lord knew this woman. And the Lord turns to Simon and he speaks about this woman's forgiveness. He said this, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Then verse 48, and he said to her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, before we finish tonight, I want you to notice the basis of this acceptance. Because tell me, was she forgiven because of the tears that she shed? Was she saved because she cried over her sinful past? Was she saved because she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears? Was she saved because she dried the feet of Jesus with her hair? Was she saved because she anointed the feet of Christ with that precious alabaster box of ointment? Notice what Jesus said in verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Not your tears. Not your ointment. Not your drying my feet with your hair. Not the kissing of my feet. It's not your love expressed to me. It was that you trusted in me as your Savior. You put your faith and your trust for forgiveness in me. And friend, there's a lovely thought, and it's simply this. That day when that woman came to the feet of Christ, she knew that only Christ could forgive her. But praise God, she knew that Christ would forgive her. Not only he could, but praise God, she would. He would. And so she expresses her love to Christ for his forgiveness. Note he says, go in peace. And she left rejoicing that day. Sitting or kneeling at the feet of Christ, forgiven all our sin. Friend, what about Simon? What about Simon? He let Jesus go that day. Doesn't tell me that Simon had faith in Christ. Doesn't tell me that Jesus said, Simon, your sins are forgiven. Doesn't tell me that Jesus said, Simon, you can go in peace. No. And he said unto the woman, go in peace. Thank God she was forgiven. Are you? Do you know the power of God's forgiveness in your life, friend? Do you know your sins forgiven under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Now, which one's you tonight? Are you Simon? Or are you the unnamed woman that came in with a broken heart to the feet of Christ and left rejoicing? Or are you like Simon going out the way you came in, hardened of heart, still in sin? And she went to heaven. The old rotten sinner, saved by grace, went to heaven. And the old self-righteous sinner went to hell. Let's pray.